Greetings, good citizens of the cannabis community, and welcome to another episode of Infused, a cannabis talk show brought to you by Terrapin Select CBD. Be wise, be well. Shop terrapinselect.com for all your CBD health and wellness needs. Let's do the show. Guys, welcome to Infused. As always, I'm joined by the Infused team. Hello, Francesca.
Hello, Nick. How are you? Hello, audience. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, and Frank. Wow. Okay.
She just got them all out of there. You just went down the list and knocked them all out.
I'm ready.
Which strain was that?
Yeah. I'm just saying hi.
Oh, man.
This is going to be that type of show.
Yeah, yeah. Big sack of dad jokes. She's just swinging around like a bag of shame. Look, guys, we have a fun episode today because it's really topical, and it's one that we are listening to what our listeners are saying about the Infused show. So, number one, thank you so much. We love hearing from you. Direct messages, emails, bring it on. Give it to us. Stop us in public. Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Canicon, I got stopped by a few people. I got stopped by a woman that thought she watched our show and did not.
She was mistaken. She's like, yeah. I remember her.
Y'all helped me grow. I was like, we do? Ooh. We didn't give any growers tips. in that spirit, a lot of our audience is saying, we love the industry stuff, we love this, but we love that you also address the kind of curious folk in the audience too. Right. So one of the things I think those kind of curious people don't understand all the way, and in the industry we know a good deal about, is the concept of 420.
Mm-hmm. So it's ubiquitous, but
yeah.
Not well known.
Yeah, it's not well known to everybody, and we know that in our industry it is the equivalent of our own Black Friday now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the thing we all prep for. So we thought on this episode of Infused, we would take you into what 420 is and then what it means for the cannabis business. You guys game?
Let's do it.
All right, guys. So look, if you go on the internet, you can go down a bunch of different rabbit holes and you say, well, what is 420? What does 420 mean? I think we could all come up with our own origin story. Could you not? Or at least one that you've heard out there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's more than one. But I remember the first one that I heard. And I heard it in college because 420 was such a big deal. And everyone said that it was 420 was the cop code for marijuana possession and for arresting marijuana, stops. And I think that started with a Grateful Dead show in 1990. This is the story I heard, that the flyer was passed around that said, since this is the code for, this, let's turn it on its head by set everybody at 420 smoke. And then we're all coming together to do this. It's kind of a rebellious act of, an in-your-face thing. So I think it's a taking back ownership of it from it being this way to crack down on weed. It became a way to celebrate and enjoy weed. So I always heard 420 is the code cops use over the radio to say that they are making, an arrest or possession of whatever.
I've heard that one, and I believed it because police codes are related to pop culture in a lot of different ways. So I was like, 10-4. That makes sense, or a 5-0. So I was like, oh, that wouldn't make sense. That's the real answer.
Right.
Yeah. That is one. I definitely see that working in the police code and then that element of, oh, we're taking this back.
And it's nice to think that the Grateful Dead started 420. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Dates we could probably debate. 90 was probably, 90 date Grateful Dead show. It's probably still a damn good lineup, though.
That's I'm just saying what I heard.
Just saying what I'm saying.
Just saying what I'm saying.
Some truth, some
yeah. Fiction. Well, Mike, could you give us what's one you've heard out there?
The one I'd heard before, and again, who knows if this is true, but the one I'd heard a lot was that it was related to some high school kids, I think it was in California, San Rafael High School or something like that, that was their dedicated meeting time at a Louis Pasteur statue or something like that was on their school campus.
Yep.
So that's where they would meet at that time, and that was like I'm sure it was after school, because I can't imagine they're still in school at 4:20. Probably after school, meet up, smoke, that's...
It's just the time to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I had heard.
420 Louis, it's one that's out there. It's certainly very popular. I've heard one that I got to think is the craziest. because, you know, Bob Dylan's Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35. Of course, the chorus is everyone must get stoned. You stone, so every, you know, it's a, but the theory is if you multiply 12 times 35, you get 420. And I'm sitting there thinking, how stupid is this theory in particular? You know that Bob Dylan, who was so into English literature, he changed his name in honor of a Welsh poet. I don't think he's worried about multiplying 12 and 35 and
nobody's
getting
making a math problem out
that's,
of it.
That's my thing. That smells the worst of all of them.
It does. It certainly smells the worst.
Skunk theory of it.
And if we do trace the origins, we do know that it is the theory that Mike presented that is the one that is genuinely accepted as correct. It's in Ratzer Slimmerman's book. It's in
Kids Are All Right.
The Kids Are All Right. San Rafael High School, 420 Louis. You know what they were doing.
We thank you Waldos. For your service.
The Waldos.
The Waldos.
Starting a movement.
Yeah. So they would meet near the wall and smoke. So so we uncovered that mystery for the kind of curious that are out there. Not that it was a big mystery, but...
But really, I mean, I hadn't heard the Bob Dylan theory. I hadn't. And I'd heard...
nuts.
That's a good point. I'd heard both, and I didn't know what was true about it. So, yeah, it's always good to correct misinformation rather than spread it.
Yeah. You get it all here. You get it all here. Well, as far as on the day, April 20th, Francesca, what can you tell us about what tends to go down on 420 for the typical cannabis user?
Break it down.
Ooh, gladly. what I've seen over the years is that 420 is very much like, you compare it to the Black Friday. I think that's the business side of the 420. Yeah. I think for the consumer side, for cannabis users, it's the St. Patrick's Day of holidays.
I like that.
Ooh, because it is good. Really about celebrating the culture in the sense of like the, almost like the stereotypes of it. Like you get to indulge in smoking, eating, drinking, all of your cannabis, taking your weed, your medicine, and then all the pleasant after effects of that. Going to concerts, and it's about music, it's about food, it's about rest, it's about creativity. It's
couch lock.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it can really be anything that you want it to be, and it is very much a communal thing, just like everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Everybody can smoke on 420. It is kind of a like, it's expected.
I really like your analogy with St. Patrick's
Day.
I do
too.
Because that is very communal, very like the brotherhood and sisterhood, everybody coming together, everybody enjoying the holiday, the friendship, the product.
Very.
They're both green holidays. So yeah, it's a strong analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the everybody Irish to everybody can smoke weed. Everybody can technically. My dad ain't going to be out there. The general's not out there on 420 toking it up.
You don't know.
I saw him. And he was like, shh, Mike, be quiet.
Just because it's not with you doesn't mean he's not. No, I mean, I do think it is. It's helping to normalize and to spread, to bring it out into the open and not make it such a, you know, clandestine act.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like your analogy, so we'll keep playing with it. We'll talk about the St. Patrick's Day aspect of it versus the Black Friday aspect of it. So, Mike, if I can go to you, speak to the Black Friday aspect of it. What will a typical cannabis business along the lines of the ones you work with, you and Francesca work with, what do they do for 420?
See, I think this is an evolving holiday, so to speak, because I think as it picks up momentum and more people participate, it then kind of builds on itself till it becomes a bigger thing for the retail or the medical dispensaries.
Okay.
Because typically they know there's going to be an influx of people coming in on that particular day. And I think you've got some data, but if I was taking a guess, I would suspect that sales before 420, like the 18th and 19th, are probably pretty soft.
Mm-hmm.
And then it blows up on 420 and then probably soft again maybe for a couple days after that, because people will plan to go to those stores to maybe be a part of an event. Sometimes there's music at the stores, there's samples, there's vendors,
cannabis celebrities.
There's you want to make an event because it's the opportunity for the store to really connect with the plant and connect with the consumers and to bring everybody together to celebrate it. And then at the same time, they're they're going to have a great profit day. So I think it, from the retail side, Nick, your Black Friday analogy is dead on. It's a big shopping day that people plan to be out and about, hit a couple stores, buy some new products, you know, take advantage of some specials and things like that. And it's a way to celebrate. It's kind of like the first step in celebrating. You know, all the things Francesca mentioned of hanging out, listening to music, watching movies,
yeah,
and all that stuff. Got to go to the store first.
Unless you grow your own, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, true.
But it is, you're talking about a conscious consumer that's very much planning to get out and take advantage of this day. Right. Francesca, we know that people make plans to do this now, right? I mean, there's data, there are people, we're gonna thank some of these people that we studied for this Black Friday episode, but we know people are out there, and you should plan to make a sale if you're a business, correct?
Oh, absolutely. If you're not capitalizing on this date, you are missing out on a huge opportunity because, you know, and I have to have stats in front of me because I don't memorize them, but it is like, what is it, 40% plan to go to a dispensary on 420.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's, and that's, you know, of course, like from whatever sample size that they pulled from, 40% is almost it's almost half the population. That's a significant amount. Yeah. And then they also plan to consume more than usual. Those same people, that same 40% are also planning to consume more than usual. So you have not only regular buyers and new buyers, you have buyers that are looking to increase their purchasing power.
Celebration.
Exactly. Yep. So you've got to have something exciting for them to buy. You better have a reason for them to be there, a reason for them to get excited to come to your store and something to get them. And then it's not just about what you smoke or eat or, you know, it's not just about the weed because it's 17% plan to purchase swag, decor, accessories. I mean, you're talking about...
Like 1 in 6 people walking in is buying something else.
Yeah, it's a perfect day for a new grinder or for, you know, a glass blunt or whatever it is because... Ding. And then it's 17% purchase new glass or smoking accessory. So
yeah,
we want to be a part of it. There are sales happening. You can increase the traffic into your store, your revenues... easily with a ready-made holiday. They're already planning on being there. Yeah.
I'm surprised that I didn't see any cards in the Walgreens.
Yeah.
420 card. I'm shocked
that
the greeting card industry hasn't jumped on that.
Well, because you always even had those the greeting card like brand that was a little bit more, you know, off-kilter or like, what was it called? Like, you know what I mean? It was like a more savvy kind of humor.
Right.
You would think right. Shoebox or whatever. You would think that they'd put something like that.
I wonder if the
out.
Big box won't bring those in.
Or maybe they will when it's federally legal. Maybe the Hallmark is scared of the federal prohibition.
For now.
Because I've seen greeting cards at dispensaries though.
Oh, really?
You and I remember one time in California, there was one that you could get some cards and it came with a pre-roll in it. Remember, it was like part of the card. This was years ago.
I don't remember that.
And it was a line in a dispensary because I was like, that's genius.
That is really smart. And that would be a great way for like independent artists to get into dispensaries if you want to do that. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that it doesn't just have to be these major chains and these major established businesses, but independent and small-owned or small businesses. So,
that's a good business idea.
Well, I mean, as we keep making our you know plant more normal to mm-hmm. the average consumer, you're going to see that happen. And I think in 2 years of pandemic life, this plant did get normalized.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a different kind of cannabis consumer that's out there now. We're talking 2 years into a pandemic. Through those 2 years, we saw increased daily use. We saw more people using cannabis than ever before. So now there's a whole new crop of ancillary businesses that are trying to get in on the 420 phenomenon. And I wanted to throw some at you and see if we could get your reaction for our audience. So these are ancillary businesses, guys, who saw 420-22 and said, let's take advantage of that. You guys know White Castle?
Yes.
Burgers.
Midwest Burger Chain. Now this year at White Castle, they teamed up a certain cannabis brand known as Cookies.
Yeah, I saw that new launch.
So you could get your 420 cheesy 10 sack. You know, I don't know if that's a great name. But you also had exclusive clothing drops because we know Burner is a monster when it comes to merchandise, and you could get a special beanie at White Castle, too. They were running a special on 420. Jack in the Box.
Well, wait, real quick. White Castle, wasn't that Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle? Was that, that's a stoner movie,
it
isn't
is.
It? So like they've been part of stoner culture for a while. So it makes sense that Burner partners with them.
Yeah.
You
There's
know,
a new strain he dropped too.
Yeah.
Really?
White Castle. Yeah. Oh. I saw the packaging for it. I was like, what is this? Cheeseburger flavor? Like, what is this?
So he's got a new strain, but it's interesting. And he's operating more in the Midwest, as we know from our recent travels. A Midwest burger chain partnering with Burner.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible for normalization, because it's easy for us as a coastal city, you know, or as a coastal state and like on the coast to be like, okay, it's more accepted, it's more normalized, it's that stigma is dropping. I don't think the same is true as in the South and maybe in the Midwest and some more rural areas. So good for them.
Yeah. I think it can only help. It can only help. Jack in the Box.
Are they more burgers?
Jack in the Box was like it was almost like a McDonald's or a...
I didn't even know they were still around, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen
them. I don't know what they are.
Time.
They used to be, there used to be one
at
the beach years and years ago.
I know what you're talking about.
That was the one you had to order through a clown.
Yeah.
And my grandfather didn't know how to do it, so he was just squeezing the fake clown's nose in the drive through.
More questions than answers. Let's table that.
Oh, yeah.
What, was he high?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
Guy served time in World War II, whatever he had to do. Yeah. So if you went to Jack in the Box this year, you could order a Pineapple Express milkshake.
Ooh.
That sounds pretty good.
And what would it cost you? $4.20.
Huh.
Yeah. So again.
It seems expensive for a milkshake.
It does.
Are they?
Is it?
I don't. It seems
everything's expensive, so I have no concept of what a milkshake costs now.
Yeah, maybe it's huge.
Oh. But is it? I wonder if it's pineapple flavored milkshake. Would you have, or is it just like let's play on the name and it's?
I didn't
sure
order
it's pineapple flavored. Yeah, it's gotta be. What if?
Would
what
you
are
have
thinking?
A pineapple flavored milkshake
on 420? Absolutely. Yeah,
I
what do you
do
think
know.
It's gonna be blueberry flavored?
I do know. I do know that
maybe
that
it's Express flavored.
Yes, it tastes just like Express. I know that promotion angered Seth Rogen, who is one of the writers of the Pineapple Express film, because there was a bunch of assumption that they had partnered, and he was like, no. And he didn't take any action or anything, but I know that
thank
wasn't...
goodness.
Yeah, I know
so
that
fast
didn't...
fast food films, cannabis, and celebrities tend to run together, I'm
little
seeing.
A little bit. On 420, you could order Wingstop and get glazed and blazed wings.
Nice.
On 420.
That's
good play.
Yeah.
That's clever.
And a similar special was TGI Fridays partnering up with Uber Eats, perfect, giving you a couch lock special, and they weren't too creative. They called theirs glazed and blazed meal through Uber Eats, where you could just sample a bunch of their appetizers.
All appetizers?
Yeah, all
That's
appetizers.
Smart.
Yeah, through Uber Eats. I thought that was just...
Someone's upset. It's already May, and he's got a wait year.
Yeah.
Now my mind... I might be done for the rest of the episode. I'm like, wonder what appetizers it is. Is it the mott sticks and the wings? Or, like, I'm going, like, head mind blown now.
The stoner sampler.
And I did think the most creative that I saw was if you ordered from Jimmy John's, they based your discount that day... It was called the How High Are You discount on April 20th. And you had to pump in your location, and they based it on elevation from where you were sitting from the point of order.
Whoa, that is intricate.
Yeah, they're not just about killing animals over there at Jimmy John's.
I was going to say, can we not promote Jimmy John's since that owner is a trophy hunter of exotic game and fuck that noise.
Well, but I mean, that is a creative as hell promo.
It doesn't help Delaware much as we are home to the lowest, highest point.
And there's one Jimmy John's on Market Street. Yeah.
Screw Jimmy John's. Don't buy from them.
So let me get your take, though. When you see businesses like this kind of participating, these ancillary businesses are jumping in on 420, what's your reaction?
It's mixed. Yeah. I think this is what we need for normalization. This is what we need to end the stigma. And at the same time, it also feeds it, because it's like the old stoner jokes of all they do is couch lock and eat. Yeah. It's like blonde jokes. Yeah.
Could be.
And it works and doesn't. It's also making money off of something with where where's the money that they're making going? Because you look at like something like Ben and Jerry's does it right, you know, where they are giving back and they are doing something. They're part of more than just coming in for a cash grab, which is my biggest problem with businesses when it comes to cannabis.
That's a strong point, because if they were, if they were to do it right, I guess in your estimation, and I think I know where you're going with this, it would be like, okay, so everything that we generate, whatever percent of proceeds from the Couch Lock special, is going to Last Prisoner Project or something like that, sort of scenario.
I would
rather than just lining their pockets in a predatory type way, taking advantage of the one day a year.
Exactly. Yeah. I would rather see, I think it would be interesting if something like, if it was more earth conscious, if it was more plant based, even had something like Patagonia saying, we're going to give 20% of our profits to these four charities that are there to help with farmers, to help protect the earth, to help with Last Prisoner Project, to help, you know, with these causes. Yeah. And that's 420. But I think we're early now. And so early adopters tend to be cute, tend to be about marketing. Yeah, and
So I guess where I am with it, Nick, is I think it's a smart marketing play.
Yeah.
I think it, and like you said, it's kind of cute and gimmicky. It makes me wonder why just one day a year. So, you know, if you really want to be associated with the industry, keep the Couch Lock special rolling year round. Because I want to get the son of a bitch right now. but also, are they supporting the industry year round? Like, are they supporters of people going to the ballots and you know, and voting in the right ways? Are they? And they're probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know if they aren't. So it's probably not fair for me to say that. But it, none of those brands jump out at me as ones that are out there educating or promoting cannabis reform or anything like that. So in a way, it's like a little predatory to me that they're taking advantage of the holiday. I mean, I get it, it's a marketing game. Everybody's trying to differentiate and associate with their target market or part of their target market or whatever it is. But at the same time, it's pretty shallow. And it would be nice to see it go a little deeper and a little more consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, a consistency thing. And just, I think you can impress people in our community a lot more by just putting more thought into it, kind of like you said. Right. And it, instead of a deal, like, oh, are you coming into the restaurant? Well, if you sign up here, you sign up for the normal chapter in this state, you know, get on the Last Prisoner Project email list. Oh, and then you get this discount or whatever and make it, I don't know.
That's a great idea.
There should be a little bit of a switch versus just, like you say, the predatory thing of just taking money.
Well, I think kind of what you're saying, Francesco said, is, you know, this is kind of new, novel. It'll be interesting to see what happens 11 months from now.
Yeah.
You know, 10 months from now, whenever they start promoting next year's specials. I think that's where hopefully we see some evolution and maturation of their approach. Yeah.
Can I say something really random that I'm kind of just realizing and slightly annoyed by? Yes, I can, because I have a microphone in your attention. And
I was going to cut you off.
These guys get to capitalize and market to the cannabis community and using cannabis culture and cannabis language. And I'm sure they're doing this on social media and all the normal channels that cannabis businesses aren't allowed to promote and market themselves on. That's a little bit of a problem for me.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, it's not a level playing field. But they're just,
Yeah, well, it's not a direct thing.
It's I know that. There's a difference. That
we all know what it means, but I guarantee there are some people being like, oh, sweet, Couch Talk special, and they don't even know what it means. They're just throwing. There's a lot of obtuse people out there.
I don't know. Still, it rubs me the
wrong way. It's a great point.
It's a great point. It is.
So, you can profit from the cannabis community.
You can outmarket us.
Yeah, you can outmarket us that are actually in cannabis.
Yeah.
Not cool.
You have access to great pits they don't let us on. Yeah, it's a fantastic point. Brought to you by Francesca.
Like, she has lots of opinions.
Stopped the show and said, I'm going to say something now. I like that. I like that a lot. But stop the show, stop the presses, 420-22. It just happened, so this is a very new recording, and we wanted to put this together with the data that came in from this past 420-22. Guys, this is the one people have been waiting for. You got to remember, in-person sales weren't everywhere. This has been 2 years since people have been able to get into that dispensary on 420. This is the one they were looking forward to, Mike.
Do you remember what we were doing 2 years ago on 420?
I certainly do. Could you enlighten our audience, or do we go there?
Doing a cookies drop for Colta in Baltimore. That you want to talk about busy. Ooh. That was insane in the membrane.
That was talking to about 700 different consumers in 5 hours, four hours.
Crazy. It was sometimes crazy. Not getting them at the most convenient part of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry. It just occurred to me. I was like, oh my God, that was 2 years ago. We started doing that. Wow. So I'm sorry, Nick.
No, there's nothing to be sorry for. But I'm saying we've got the data now, guys. And in many ways, this was the day that this industry has been waiting for 2 years. In-person sales came back in a big, big way. Consumers are more confident. They're vaccinated. They're more educated, too, when it comes to cannabis. And the reports that we see, the early reports, Francesca, are pretty, pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, they're really good to see because it says that in American dispensaries, there was 148% increase from the 4 weeks before.
Leading up.
Yeah. So that's incredible. So if you're a cannabis dispensary, you could be missing out on basically 150% increase of your previous sales.
It's biggest 420 in at least 4 years. We have new states, new consumers. And I think one thing that people don't talk about enough when they see numbers like this is we have new delivery methods that more people are comfortable with. Right. So I was going to go right to you, Mike. And it's the top seller with a bang, this 420 right
beverage.
Here. Yes. Yeah. Did that surprise you?
It did surprise me. It really surprised me because, I mean, I know, and they've been out. It's not like they've never been out before. So beverages have been out there, but now they're getting more mainstream. There's more flavors. There's probably better flavors. There's, you know, I know Wild has some stuff, which I'm a huge fan of, that has all natural juices. So the fact that beverages came in and won the gold medal on 420 is a pretty big accomplishment in my mind.
Yeah. I think it makes sense to me because it's like if you're a new consumer and so many people, and especially around COVID too, and post-COVID is like smoking has, and the perception of smoking as healthy or unhealthy is pretty divisive for a lot of people. And so I think, and then taking a gummy, some people fear, or any kind of edible, people fear edibles because there's this maybe lack of control or you hear horror stories of taking too much. And so I feel like maybe a drink is discreet. You don't have the vape gate, crisis history. Yeah. You don't have the flower conspicuousness and the taste and the smoking. It's really interesting to me, but it's not necessarily surprising that as new consumers come on, new methods of consumption come and go and get popular. And you're right, I think manufacturing of it has improved and increased, so that's probably a big part of it too.
Distribution. It's just out there more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, numbers were huge in America and Canada. I mean, in both places, we have just infused drinks being right up there. So we want to, that bodes well for the infused show, I think. now, but I guess the other thing, too, do you think people are just more, less intimidated at the point of sale, Mike, when it comes to something like this versus give me an eighth or give me a quarter? Like, is it a smarter purchase for some people than loose flower?
I'm not sure if it's a smarter or whatever purchase, but I think what it is, I think because consumers are more experienced and probably more educated, I think they're also potentially more willing to try something new and not be intimidated by, oh, it's a beverage. Am I going to get, is it going to hit me hard or whatever? And so I just feel like that's the case. I know when you bought that one, it wasn't, it's metered. You can see how much you've consumed. So you look at it and can get a pretty good indication on the dosage. So I think it's a lot of it is people are just more confident in the plant science and plant manufacturing and the distribution of quality goods to good dispensaries. And on a day like 420, they might be regular flower users are like, you know what? Hell yeah, it's 420. Let's try a beverage today and let's just get some of this and that. Like, I think there is that. As we look at the sales data, people buying more things and spending more money, sure. A beverage could be definitely one that hits the cart.
Yeah. It also is very party friendly. It's shareable. Yeah. You can have beverages in addition to other things that you have. I can see going to a party and being like, hey, we have these beverages and we have this flower and we have these gum. Like, it's part of a selection and an array. And it also could be a calorie thing, a sugar thing. I mean, if you're not interested in chocolate and sugary gummies and stuff. I don't know. Maybe a beverage.
My curiosity
thing.
With beverages is it eating into the market share for alcohol? And at so all. Do you yeah. like, so are some of those purchasers people that are normally beer drinkers or something like that, or like Tito's drinkers that are like, hey, it's 420. So I'm going to stick with a drink. Let's get a you know, THC beverage. Hmm. I don't know. I'd love to see that data.
That's a really interesting parallel. I'd be really interested to see how many people would buy more than one. I think this is a single purchase for most people. And I think somebody's going
to
give,
price point definitely drives it to be a single purchase a lot of times. Yeah. You're not picking up a six pack.
But that's 100 though, isn't it? Isn't that 100 milligrams?
Yeah, 100 milligrams. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing's popping.
It is for sure. Other things that we saw, friends, that was really interesting to us. We saw the sales of concentrates went up big time, which was surprising to me because I think they're a bit of an intimidating purchase for some people because they don't know if they have the hardware, et cetera, et cetera. Strong 420 as far as pre-rolls are concerned. And we've seen that in dispensaries, really smart dispensaries keep Lucy's right up there at the point of sale. And we say, hey,
or they
why
throw
not?
Them in with their Ladies. With a certain, you know, dollar purchase. So that might be a big part of it.
And yeah, no doubt. And I think the smallest growth we thought they were still up. Edible sales were up.
I love edibles.
And vape sales were up. Both strong performers during the pandemic as well. Mm-hmm. So
very
it's
strong.
It's interesting. Those other ones made huge gains. And one other data point to our listeners that I thought was interesting, Mike, was because you brought up the Baltimore work, text orders, 15 million text orders were placed nationwide on this 420.
I would say
that's a number.
Text ordering is a must have if you can have it because it is, think about the population that you're serving in general, especially on 420. It's going to be millennials and Gen Z and Gen Xers, and texting is just, and even boomers are going to be texting easier, more easily. And also your staff is already flooded with in-person purchasing, with phone calls, with questions. Are you open? Do you have this? Text ordering allows the decisive people to make those decisions, to avoid having to talk to people. I mean, it takes away so many barriers. So, oh my God, if you're a dispensary and you don't have text ordering, get yourself some.
Yeah. I mean, especially looking at those numbers.
Yeah.
If this was the biggest, we all have seen these numbers, and look, we've gotten great information from Flow Hub and Brightfield, and we were all looking at the numbers. If this was the big one, the big 420, are you confident that you can say why, Mike? Here's why this was the biggest 420.
I think it's a combination of factors that really led this year, 2022, to have a strong 420. The first one I would throw out there that pops in my mind is just more availability of product. And think about how many more states are either medical or rec versus 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So just that alone has got to be tens or hundreds of millions of extra consumer base potential, you know, out there buying on 420. So I think you look at it that way. I'm thinking it's the states, more states, and there's just better products. I mean, we talked about the beverage. We talked about these other things. There's more availability, more ways, as you mentioned, Nick, earlier, you know, distribution set up now. You've got web ordering, text ordering. You've got, you know, delivery. You've got in-person. You got store pickup, like touchless pickups products. I know people are still running that because consumers really like that. They don't want to necessarily have to leave their car. You know, a lot of dispensaries have a drive-through scenario going.
Yeah.
So I think the dispensaries have gotten smarter and wiser to catering to the needs of the consumers in those aspects to get them what they need and what they want in a way that they want to receive it. And I think that's significant market growth and maturation over the last 2 years, just from those two.
And on the consumer side, there's less stigma. Every year, that number, that percentage of the general population that approves of, you know, cannabis use to some degree grows, and I think we're in the 91% of the country agrees with legalization to some degree or another and consumption. So we understand it as safe, we understand it as harmless, we understand it as productive, we understand it as medicine, and we have, you know, destigmatized it through those ways, and that means there's more consumers, there's more new consumers, there's repeat consumers, we're all out in the open with it. And so seeing more people participate in 420 is going to get people to more to participate more in 420. So it'll be interesting if next year is even bigger, and it should be, because we should have more states, or so maybe federal or even federal legalization. Yeah, and so it's this is maybe just the beginning of the trend.
I hope so. We're gonna get to next year in just a second, because I want you to speak to
frog
businesses. but yeah, and I think you all touched on the big points. I think that are why we had this kind of 420, and it was just, wasn't it cool to be able to wake up this 420 and be like, oh yeah, how did New Mexico do? Oh, how did Jersey do? And you could, you know,
421, you could tell.
yeah.
Jersey.
But you knew that we had these states in play. It was really cool to see this as a reality this year. But if we're talking about next year, look, we want to top this year. Mm-hmm. What do smart cannabis businesses do to prepare for 42023? Francesca, I'll let you go first.
I think in addition to all the obvious things around the marketing, the events, the sales, and things like that, they can hold more, they can provide more education and more opportunity for new consumers by having maybe medical cards or, education opportunities for people to get into the dispensary. So if you can renew your medical card, if you could sign up for a medical card on 420, you can maybe get more people that way and get people renewed that way, that you have them coming into the store for one reason to shop and one reason to learn or to renew or to whatever, then they're going to shop anyway. So more reasons to drive people to your dispensary is going to be critical. And that's an important part of it, because you're going to have more competition in the market. So it can't just be the same things that everybody is doing. Not everybody's going to be able to book the biggest star and have the loudest music and all of those things.
That's a great point, but you can make your dispensary a unique 420 celebration destination. Give somebody a reason to get in that car and tell the story of why it was unique to get to your place. Mike, what do you think businesses can do to prepare and put themselves in a good place to succeed for the next year?
I think there's a couple things that pop to mind for me. And when I look at what I saw dispensaries that I thought did it well versus ones that didn't do it quite so well, I think it's because there was just a lot more planning and preparation that they put into it. So they didn't start figuring it out on April 13th, in other words. I mean, so thinking ahead to maybe having some new strains or commemorative strains or special packaging, like that kind of stuff, that takes time. In addition to like booking and all that stuff, I really like what Francesca said in terms of finding ways to bring new people in to educate, to do these different things, is just another way to build that customer base of new people and make it comfortable for them to have a session or a seminar that they can feel comfortable with, different age groups that all come together. But to me, I really think that a lot of it is really related to that planning and preparation part to make it, because you have to know going into it, consumers are going to come out in masses. They're going to go to probably multiple stores. They're going to spend more money. So do it like they do in the Bourbon Trail down in Kentucky. Make it so that it's easy for you and the other dispensaries in the area. Make it so that they get they stamp a card at every store, and at the end, they, you know, if they go to all the stores and make a purchase at those stores, now they're eligible for something bigger and better. Like, come together more, even, you know what I mean? Not even talking about like the Wingstop and shit like
right.
that. Like, you know, within the family, they can do more to come together. And I think by coupling those things together, it just adds more credibility and consumer confidence, potentially.
I like that. It's like the, what's the new word, that co-opetition, you know, you right. can, you can totally exactly get with, it's the no one grows alone mindset and model. And you could even do something like different seshes for different reasons. You could have the medical renewal card. You could have how to grow your own. I mean, if you sell seeds at a dispensary, you better be having a plant science and how to grow session on 420. And that's like, hey, that runs from 9 to 11. And anybody who attends gets a discount on seeds that's this much. And on this, and then we're going to have a dabbing, you know, education.
Get comfortable with dabbing.
Huge.
Yeah. If you can do a consumption lounge, that would be amazing. Of course, there's a lot of problems with that.
So just think about this. I mean, can't you pretty quickly see 420 expanding into a multi-day event? Just for the stuff you just planned out. If somebody hired us and said, hey, help me plan out a good 420 event, we could help somebody plan out a week of 420.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a few days before and a few days after. And it's all geared towards raising and elevating the consumer education and experience.
All for 420. Yeah. And it'd be like 4 days setting.
It's on 420 or whatever it's going to be. But I can quickly see this turning into a multi-day holiday.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
Just like Black Friday turns into Cyber Monday, turns into Giving Tuesday, turns into...
You shop Thursday night. Thanksgiving night, people are going. So yeah, it bleeds over real easy.
Creating this into an experience...
Yes.
Versus just a singular one-off purchase thing is huge.
Relationships, experience, trump transactions every time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we all know the members of our community. Like, if this becomes a 3-day event, Mike, it's going to be special. It's going to be peaceful. It's probably going to rake in a ton of money for the people that do it right. But I love that point. I love where you're going there.
How are we going to get your pets involved, too?
Yeah, dose your pet. No, don't do that.
Don't dose your pet. But you do have CBD for pets, and you can do some, like, stuff.
I will say this.
Cats on cannabis.
The claim was never made on this show, but a lot of people thought that 420 2021 was going to be the last illegal 420. I didn't see how that was ever possible. No. I'm going to ask you guys, was this the last illegal 420? Are we going federal in the next year?
No.
Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance.
No. You'll
Hard
never.
No.
We're always going to shoot you straight on the Infuse show. Real quick thing. We do have a report directly from the New Jersey market on this past 420. Francesca was on the scene.
Tried to be.
Tell us what you thought.
So in 421, New Jersey opened up their recreational sales. And being a Delawarean, where it's only medically legal and not going anywhere fast, it's nice to have a state that's drivable to go to and shop recreationally. So I took myself to South Jersey, and at first I did my research on the stores that were open and were available, and they were all corporate weed. So it was CuraTech, the Cannabist, really? Which is owned by Columbia Care, I believe. Mm-hmm. A whole... Did I say CuraTech? I meant Curaleaf. Sorry about that. Sorry, CuraTech. You're a good IT company.
IT provider.
Curaleaf. It's the cannabis.
Wow, they sell too.
But yeah, so we decided, so Nick and I took a drive up to Jersey. Yeah. And we stopped at one, the cannabis dispensary, and the parking lot was jumping. I mean, people were coming in, and there was
a lot of activity.
And then we walk up to we take a selfie, we walk up to the door, and the guy checking IDs, first question, he says, are you medical or rec? And we said, rec. And he said, only 5 to 7. And it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Hmm. So they were open for recreational for 2 hours in their day. That's tough. Were turning away.
Which means they weren't ready to open recreationally.
Correct. And I am all for making sure medicinal...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
...cannabis is available to medical card holders first and foremost. However, don't say you're a rec if you're not ready for rec. So we said, all right, no problem. There's another store just 2 miles down the street. So Curaleaf, we'll go to that store. We drive. There is a line around the block.
Oh, yeah.
And it was staggering how many people were waiting in that line. And I was like, well, I don't actually need anything. I was doing this for the data and for the, for the recon, for the experience and to support legalization. And I was like, so I don't need to support it for in a 3-hour line or whatever that line was. Yeah. So it just seemed like it was a rough launch. I haven't been up since, definitely a tough launch. And it's disappointing because when we're talking about professional sales, cannabis, guys, these are corporate dispensaries that weren't even getting out their messaging about wait times, about the hours that they're available, about, you know, product availability, about setting policies. Expectations and policies and how to, it's really.
Yeah, this isn't the first state they've operated in. So it is a little startling that they didn't do a better job with their kickoff.
Exactly.
And you could say it's conspiracy theory. Like, I don't think that messaging was there for a purpose. I think they loved the way that parking lot looked. I think they loved the activity there, and that there was the buzz and people were going into that door only to walk right the hell back out in a lot of cases. Wow. It was just, what was the old thing about SNL? It was just not ready for prime time. Just not, it sucks. So,
you know, hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah.
In a slow and steady pace, I guess. We'll check it out. If you've had an experience at a New Jersey dispensary, we would love to hear about it. I hope it was a good one, because that's what we want to have, is good experiences with good people.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was our report on 420-22 for out there that are in the industry and those who are kind of curious about what goes on this day. I know some people are always curious about the thoughts and musings of a certain man from Jersey, a guy named Frankie Fithier. I wanted to talk to him if we could.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hello. Good to see you guys.
It's been a while, buddy.
Yes, it has.
we actually haven't all four been in the same room recording in months. This is really cool. We've been doing Zoom shows and whatnot. And we always like to come in and ask some fun questions at the end. So today, in honor of 420, people always like to do this. Who's the Mount Rushmore of rock drummers? Francesca likes to ask me, who's the Mount Rushmore of Beatles? And I'm always like, Francesca. But what I wanted to do today is, let's talk 420 culture. Let's talk about when you have the munchies. What are the four foods that we put on your Mount Munchmore?
I have a question.
Shocking.
Francesca has a question.
Shocking.
We can edit this out, too.
Is your Mount Munchmore the four foods that you would, that you do commonly go to, or are they like the best foods?
The best.
If you had anything available,
the best, Jerry.
Okay.
The best Mount Munchmore. And you know who's starting us off, Mike? It's going to be Frankie Fithier, sir.
Yes.
Always. Why is it always me?
This is a great
question.
Thank you, Frank.
Gosh. I think my first grab, if I'm chilling on the couch, is sweet and spicy sunflower seeds.
Wow.
What? And I could probably go through the whole bag.
Okay, whole bag.
What size bag?
You know, the ones you get from like 7-Eleven or gas station. Yeah. I just love seeds. I don't know if it was like from my early baseball days. I just,
do you spit the seed out or do you swallow the seed?
Yeah. I'm not a lunatic.
Yeah. I know some people that eat the whole thing, just roll through.
That is insane.
So you have like a cup and you're just spitting into it?
Yeah. It's definitely not attractive if you're sitting in a room with me, but
guess what I bet?
I'm not, high anyway, so.
This is not his date night Mount Rushmore.
Guess what I bet is well stocked at the Dash Inn? Go ahead.
They probably know
you're coming.
They know me there.
Yeah, I know.
The next one would have to be boneless buffalo wings.
Nice call.
Ranch. Boneless. Like another not attractive thing to eat on date nights. But again, I'm in my own place.
That's more attractive than with the bone in. It's like, that's definitely.
I guess so. It's a step up from there.
I love it. That's a good call.
Next one is the Grubhub order, Rocco's Pizza, plain pie, get that delivered. If I'm that high, I might forget I ordered it. Then I get a random call.
Oh, that's a good call.
Hey, I'm here. I'm like, who's here? The Grubhub guy. Oh, shit. I'll be down there a second.
That's got to be the best feeling. Who's here?
Yeah. Remember.
Who's here?
How many times that happened?
Handful.
Between 4 and 20.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, Rocco's is a great spot. Nick put me on that place. They got great cutlets there. Good bar, cute bartender. Forgot her name, but I'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Rocco's. Nice. Rocco's Italian Grill in Union.
Great spot. First spot is Cool Ranch Doritos.
All right.
Side of queso.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Look.
Another dash in purchase.
Wow.
I like, Frank, a strong Mount Munchmore. Thank you for kicking it off.
Wow.
Thanks for kicking it off. Frank, we're going to send it over to Mike Patterson. All Mike, right. On your Mount Munchmore.
I've thought about this one quite a bit. and I've narrowed it down to the following four. Do you want me to start at my least favorite?
Let's go with four up.
Okay. Number four is going to be combos. The specific is cheddar cheese pretzel.
Ooh.
That's my number four.
That's a strong one.
That's my airport snack.
Yeah, I've seen you demolish. Yeah, you have. number three. Hers potato chips with French onion dip.
Ooh.
Like the cold French onion dip.
So, yeah,
like
okay.
Hell of a good dip stuff.
Wow.
I can go through like a tub of that shit.
Wow. That's a
and
good
that's
one.
Brought to you by my friend Patrick, who you guys know. He's the one who introduced me to that.
Really?
He's the culinary genius behind that concoction.
Number two is going to be any leftover pizza. I don't have the patience to order like Frank does. So it's got to be something I can get my hands on fast.
Yeah.
So you're not cooking pizza. Like Elio's. You're not ordering pizza. It's already there.
It's got to be there.
All right.
I don't have, like, if it's a 20-minute oven time, I'm moving on. last one, my number one top go-to is nachos.
Nachos.
And that would be with melted real cheese, not like.
Gotcha. Dip.
So tortilla chips with melted cheese.
Love it. Love it. That is a formidable Mount Munchmore. And I like that Mike threw in there too. I'm not going to order it, the pizza.
No, there's no way. I don't have that patience.
I like that it's left there because I always go in there. I don't know why I get paranoid.
And the real cheese. I don't want to use a dip.
Yeah, I'm not going to dip the jar. The gas station my jar. Queso. Yeah. Hey, the good news, Frank, is if we're together, I don't have to worry about, like, you know,
no,
like,
cross taking
each other's stuff. Yeah. But yeah, like it's good.
What about the old Forge snack?
What did we have?
The late night snack.
What did we have?
Cutlets, right?
Oh.
That was delicious. Yeah, that's a one-off, though, because I never have cutlets in my house.
Yeah.
That was definitely.
That's a
problem. Was walking around, like, crushing those things.
Yeah.
I had it wrapped in a paper towel like I was at a stadium.
Yeah. We were all acting like it was finger food, just walking around. Like we're in the first scene of Goodfellas with our cutlets. This is good. Francesca, I'll give you the opportunity. You can go last or you can go now.
I'll go last.
That's what I thought she would want. Gentlemen, I
and
stacked,
lady.
I wasn't finished. I keep getting cut. Gentlemen and lady, I stacked mine thusly. I have just generic peanuts. I can eat peanut after peanut. It's
dry roasted, honey roasted. What are you talking about?
Dry roasted.
All right. Yeah. That's a strong.
Light salt.
Yeah, light salt. Ooh, man. I can't stop eating them.
I might take off.
All right. My next one is just a barbecue potato chip. Oh, my God. Simple, mm-hmm. easy.
Quick.
Crush them. On top of that, on Mount Munchmore, I have Jack's cheese curls. Specifically has to be Jack's, J-A-X.
Are they the ones that look like, they're like J-shaped?
Yes.
Or are they the balls?
They're the J-shape.
Oh, those things.
They're a little crispy.
Yeah. Is your couch a mess after that?
Oh no, I never let myself buy them because they'll be everywhere. And then number one, I have leftover pizza, so yes. A repeat, Mount Munchmore.
Nice.
Now, the All ladies' right. answer.
So I can't order these exactly, but I know for sure pizza, a fresh pie. Is on there. Frank and I will order our fresh pies.
Fine.
You guys can have the leftovers.
Fine. More leftover
for
family.
We're all happy. yeah, I do. I do love a good pizza. Uh-huh. It's got to be foldable. Soft pretzel would be like a dream because then you can have the mustard and it's bread and it's delicious.
A warm soft pretzel the kind of Wawa that's cold?
Oh, no. Not some Wawa rate soft pretzel, like a super pretzel, but better. Cheese popcorn. I'll kill cheese popcorn. I'll just half that bag.
That's a good one.
If not more is gone.
That bag's vaporized.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And then for the last one, it's a tough call because I need something sweet in there. And it usually is a surprise mix of two things. So I will usually
surprise.
If I have vanilla pudding, and like vanilla pudding cup, and then I put something else in it. It's so
like
good.
Like a cookie or something?
Like a cookie, or I know I did something
a
else.
Burrito?
That was like not
what?
A burrito, something
there?
Else sweet, cookie dough or a cookie, or like,
good.
Oh my God, it's just so.
That's the
or
only
graham cracker, crumble a graham cracker into a vanilla pudding cup.
Like the Bill Cosby pudding cup?
I mean,
now those are the ones that just knock you unconscious.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that's of the 16 selections, there was one sweet item that you know, everybody else
wow,
was
that's
salt.
True.
And all the other ones were salty.
Very salt dominated.
I have to have some sweet
this.
In there.
I like that. I'm glad you went last. You kind of you stuck out above, you contrasted everybody else's. I like that.
I'm the sweetest.
I'm interested to hear audience feedback on this one. Everybody's got a Mount Munchmore.
Yeah, no, everybody does. You can send them. You can DM us. You can put them on the social page. In that vein, guys, you know, we've had a lot of fun talking 420. This is a very topical, very current event type show we did today to try to bring everybody in on 420. But man, we're in a cool spot here with the Infuse Show because. We're here at the end of April, beginning of May. We're hitting the road again. Yes, we're going to be going out. We're going to be seeing the people again. Guys, are you excited?
Very excited. Very excited, especially because we're going to one of our favorite places.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is New York City.
Yeah. Mike, you ready to hit the road again?
I am. You know, it's funny. We were in a real, like, consistent week after week after week for a while, and then now we've been home for 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm kind of chomping at the bit to get out there.
Same.
It's going to be fun.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, look, thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the guests who've joined us over the past few weeks. We've had some amazing people awesome. Join us on the Infuse Show. More to come. More exciting things to come. We want to thank the people at PodConnects Network. Proud to be a part of you and your great lineup of shows. And say hi to our friends at Pro Cannabis Media as well. Guys, I'm going to see you next time.
You know you will.
All right, man. This has been a pleasure. Mike, Francesca, thank you so much. Thank you, Frankie Fifth, your producer extraordinaire. We're going to see you on the Infuse Show next time from Delaware. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey there, my name is Leah Babruti, and I'm the founder and host of Canna Chicks Podcast, where I discuss cannabis, psychedelics, and other natural medicines. I not only interview people who use them as treatment for different conditions, but also the entrepreneurs who share their knowledge on how they built their businesses. If this sounds interesting to you, give my show a listen. I'm sure you'll learn something that'll surprise you.